want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Well, I just want to give thanks for every person tuning into the broadcast today. Father, I thank you for President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, all their cabinet members and advisors. I thank you for the Senate. I thank you for the House of Representatives. I thank you for all the judges of this land. I thank you for all law enforcement, local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies. I thank you for your spirit resting upon all the authorities of this land and lead them and guide them to do your will, Father. I thank you for all the kings and the presidents throughout the earth. I pray, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. All right, let's go ahead and get into this podcast. And the purpose of this podcast is to come to the knowledge and the understanding that what is written in our hearts is the way we will act. Turn to Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contain the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Notice we don't have the law of Moses, but we do by nature the things contain the law. Why? The next verse tells us. Which show the work of the law written in our hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. We don't have to be taught the law of Moses. God already wrote it in our hearts. And it makes us try to keep the law, even though we may never have heard it. And these scriptures clearly show us what's written in our heart is the way we will act. It's the way we will conduct ourselves. It says we do by nature. We instinctively do what's written in our heart, which, you know, is the law of Moses in this case. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3:1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, how are these people that the Apostle Paul ministered to known and read by all men? Read the next verse. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Now, as the words of God are written in your heart, you will be known and read by all men. Now, think about that for a second. People can't see what's written in your heart. See, so what they see is your outward actions, your outward behavior. We just read people naturally try to do the law of Moses. See how their outward behavior is affected by what's written in the heart? Because the law of Moses is written in the heart. Likewise, as the words of the New Testament are written in your heart, you will naturally act that way. You will naturally walk and talk like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? He is the Word of God. Now, the Ten Commandments are the Old Covenant. Let's look at that, Exodus 34:28. And he was there, this is Moses, with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Okay, the words of the covenant, Ten Commandments, that's the Old Covenant. Very important you get that, because the Old Covenant clearly is, we're going to read here, it was clearly done away with. Hebrews 10:9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. This is Jesus. O God, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Take away the first covenant, they establish the second. The Lord Jesus came to do the will of God the Father. And it was God's will to do away with the old covenant and bring in a new covenant. And you can read these verses in context and easily see that's what it's talking about. And if you go back to verse, you know, if you go back to verse 1. Well, let's go ahead and do that. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. See why you have a conscience of sins? And with it comes guilt, because you're under the law of Moses. Or with the law of Moses still written in your heart, there is guilt. And also a consciousness of sin. Now, you have to take what's written here and other scriptures to come up with this, okay? Because I'm taking Romans 3:20 about the law brings guilt and by it is the knowledge of sin and everything. So I can't teach every bit of this all at once every week because the podcast will go too long. Okay. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So the blood of bulls and goats sacrificed under the law of Moses could not take the sin nature out of us, out of the people of that day. But the body of Christ can. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Okay, God gave the Son a human body. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. God took away the law of Moses. It was nailed to the cross, and it was erased from our hearts on the cross. And it says it's blotted out. That means erased. All these people who keep wanting, I'm talking about in our day, who keep wanting to implement the Ten Commandments can never get established in the new covenant. See? He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. If you don't put away, see, this is why you can prove you don't combine these. People keep saying, oh, well, we keep the Ten Commandments and then we walk by faith. Well, if you try to keep the Ten Commandments, you can't walk in the new covenant. You can't get it established. Now, this chapter is talking about the old covenant being done away with, the new covenant being established. And under the old, your conscience is not purged. And the sin nature remains in you. And under the new covenant, your sins are purged, taken out of you. And we know we get the law taken out of us by having it erased from our hearts. See, not just you get the knowledge. Okay, you're not under the law. Well, that's great. I wish it was that easy. But you're going to have to believe the gospel and get it erased from your hearts. Look at Colossians 2:14. Blotting, erasing. That's what blotting means, erasing. Out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, look at the last verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it's talking about doing away with the old covenant and getting the new covenant established in our hearts. And right here it tells us how to get the new covenant established in your heart. Verse 16, this is a covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins, their iniquities, will I remember no more. As you get the old covenant, the Ten Commandments, erased from your heart, and the new covenant written in your heart, then your sins will be purged, and God will no longer remember your sins, nor will you. Now, people will say, they don't understand, they'll say, well, we get our sins purged by faith in the blood of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. But you need to understand this. As the law is erased from your heart, and as the word of faith, which is the gospel, is written in your heart, then your faith will work to access the grace of God or the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. See that? All right. Now, let's go back a couple of chapters to the 8th verse, Hebrews 8:10. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. See, and you Jews out there, God made a new covenant with you. Why are you still under the old covenant? You missed the boat. He made a new covenant with you. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. See, now the Lord will become our God, and we become his people as the word of God is written in our hearts in our heart and minds. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. God speaking to you Jews, he made a new covenant. This says the days will come, and he's made that new covenant. It's the same one he gave to the Gentiles. Days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. That's not the covenant. He said, I've got a new one. One that was coming after the old covenant, the law of Moses. Okay, let me read 32 again. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 36:26, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart. This is that new covenant out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Okay. As God begins to open your eyes, let me just tell you this. God opened my eyes last week, and he showed me, as the word of God is written in your heart, then God is rebuilding your heart. And I'm going to show you that as we continue this podcast, because you know, when I got that, well, let me carry, I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 27, and I will put my, and say, we'll go back to 26, a new heart also will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. See, straighten out your ways, God straightens out your heart, gives you a new heart. And ye shall dwell in the land that I will give your father, and ye shall be my people, and I'll be your God. So in Jeremiah 31 says, we become God's people by writing the words of God in our heart. And here in Ezekiel 26, it says, we become God's people as the Lord gives us a new heart. Now, this is what God was showing me earlier in the week, and with other scriptures also. And the more I study this, the more I see, as you write the words of God in people's hearts, you're rebuilding the heart. See, he said, I'll write the words in your heart, you'll be my people. I'll give you a new heart, you'll be my people. So, and you know, I already showed you that what's written in your heart will determine how you act. Turn to Proverbs 4:23, New International Version. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See, the kind of heart you have will determine how you act and what spirit you walk in. See, to get converted from going to walking in the prince of the power of the air, you got to get a new heart. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Okay, so it looks like here, even if you're not a minister, you can write the word of God in your own heart. You say, well, how? Well, your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That's Psalm 145:1. Just speak the word of God out loud. Okay, turn to Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws, apple thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger that flatteth with her words. All right? Write them upon the table of thine heart. You know? And see, We showed you Psalm, or well, I didn't turn to it, but I told you about it, Psalm 145. Your tongue is a pen of a ready writer. That's how you write it on your own heart. Never underestimate what the Word of God can do if you'll keep it in your heart. But understand, it has to be written in your heart. Just because you read it once or twice doesn't mean it's written there yet. You have to keep after it. You know, the parable of the sower taught me a lot about keep putting the Word in my heart and about the preparation of the heart. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, as the word of God gets you in your heart, it'll keep you back from sin. Okay. Now, some of you have been writing the word of God in your heart for years. That's why you've been getting some of the the results you've been getting. So I'm not here to tear down your progress, but to show you the way of God more perfectly. All right? Let's go ahead and take a break and let's put a song here. Let's do He is Jehovah by Pamela Pontia.
He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
God that healeth thee.
He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son He sent to you and testified of Him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God.
Okay, Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of dead and of eternal judgment. And you know, I've been taught the foundation from a man that is an apostle. And I left that man's ministry because I disagreed with some of the things that he taught and that I knew were wrong, and because of the way he treated God's people. Now, I want to address ministers that I believe teach the doctrine. Let's see how you pronounce this, cessationist. Or I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. That's not one of my strengths. But anyway, this doctrine, which says the apostle-prophet ministry ended with the early apostles, and signs, wonders, and miracles ended with the first apostles. And these people are teaching deceit. And let me show you how they deceive you. They use their own definition of what the foundation was, and then built upon that. And then they build upon that lie they spoke. They say the foundation is the whole Word of God. And they ignore the Bible's definition of the foundation, which I just spoke to you out of Hebrews 6. See, they're saying all the books of the Bible is the foundation. And then they build upon that lie, because that's not the foundation. And they speak another lie that the apostle prophet's ministry has ceased. And they say because they no longer are writing more books. These apostles and prophets are no longer writing books of Bible. See, that's slick. That's what you call cunning, craftiness, and deceitful men, because they change the definition of the foundation, put in a lie saying the apostles and prophets have passed away, then attach a truth that everybody would agree with, that there's no more books being written, and then they put it all together and speak it like it's gospel truth. See, now that's just one way they support that lie, cessationist. And, you know, if I was a devil, I'd teach you that doctrine too. So you could never go into perfection. See, because you cannot go into perfection without the foundation laid down or written in your heart by an apostle prophet's ministry. And they are the ones with the gift of Christ in them that can do it. See, if the devil can successfully convince you of this lie, you'll be a fruitless Christian, or you won't bear much fruit. You won't be able to do much. I'm not saying you couldn't have any faith or couldn't get some results in your life, couldn't get some miracles. But folks, we have not seen people walking like they did in the book of Acts. Not like Peter, not like Paul. Okay, so just like if the devil can convince you the Ten Commandments, that we're to keep the Ten Commandments and not believe and keep you from believing they're erased from your heart, you'll never be able to get the new covenant written in your heart and walk like Jesus walked, or walk to the fullness of how Christ walked. And, you know, I've had for some time the revelation that Apostle Paul was a wise master builder. I think it was several years ago God began to show me this. And our hearts are that building. And you can see that in verse 9 and 10 out of 1 Corinthians 3. Paul was the builder, and we're the building. And it says in these verses, the Apostle Paul's laying the foundation here. And I thought, this is, you know, it's amazing. I'll sit there and it's not really amazing. God's just answering my prayer. But I was telling the Lord, I said, okay, you're showing me that he's building it. Rebuilding our hearts. Because I knew when he said that we're the building, he's the master builder. It wasn't talking about our body. And it was easy to see that that was our heart. But I said, but I thought he was writing the words in our heart. I thought he was laying these truths in our heart. And I said, I don't really understand this. And then I began to see that we change the way we act by what's put in our heart, what's written in our heart. And then I began to say, oh, so having the word of God written in our heart, laid down in our heart, or having the foundation taught to us, that's rebuilding the heart. Okay? And, you know, God showed me that this last Wednesday, and the understanding came into my heart. Very simple. As the word of God is written in your heart, then your heart is being rebuilt. I think there's more scripture to support that. I believe I've got the mind of God on this. And this is another piece of the puzzle being put together. See, one of the mistakes I see that people make is when you teach the word of God, if it doesn't flow with the rest of scriptures, you got it wrong. The word of God all fits together. And everything I'm saying right here is in the Word of God. And, you know, now some of you, you'll say, well, I'm going to take what you teach, copy you, and go teach others. Well, go ahead, but it won't work unless you've been anointed as an apostle and prophet, unless you've been given the gift of Christ, the gift of Christ's apostle, the gift of Christ the prophet. See, you have to write the Word of God in people's hearts by the Spirit. You have to be anointed to do it. Now, other ministers, pastors, teachers, evangelists can build or write the Word of God in the hearts of those an apostle prophet has already laid the foundation in. See, let's read that in 1 Corinthians. You'll see that, 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So right here it says, as the apostles and prophets teach the foundation, that's rebuilding the heart, and another buildeth thereon. Where it's saying another, it's referring to other ministers. Only the apostles and prophets can write the foundation in the hearts of God's people, and then the other ministers can come behind or write or build upon that foundation. So, one of the problems with the people of God is they don't follow instructions. They just go out and do it any way they want, and then they can't understand why it won't work. Well, go back to the instruction manual, which is the Bible, and read it and study it and follow what it says. Okay? When you get your eyes open, you will see And this is what I'm beginning to see, that the words of the New Testament are written in our heart. And as it's written in our heart, we're going to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the Word of God. You know, even in the natural, house builders know they have to build a foundation where they can frame it, or it'll fall apart. If you went out there, you go out there where they have a new addition, they're building a house out there, and they started framing the house on the dirt, it would fall apart. It wouldn't take long. That house would fall apart because the soil moves. Okay? And so they have to lay a foundation or you let the house fall apart. Well, likewise, God's people, you cannot build truth. You cannot remake them without laying a foundation. And I've listened to teachers and pastors, and some teach, you know, out there in the body of Christ, teach some sound doctrine, but most don't understand the importance of the foundation. So, you know, we're going to have to get this right, folks. We have to return to the way the Bible tells us to make Christians. The apostle, prophets, ministry must be raised up. And, you know, I know there's more apostles and prophets out there that have a foundation. I don't know where they're at. And I don't hear anyone speaking this, but maybe I'm just not hearing them. Maybe, you know, because I don't have a lot of time to hear a lot of different speakers. So they may be out there and I'm just not, I haven't tuned into them yet. Okay, now the foundation is called the elementary teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the milk of God's word. And we're going to have to go back and teach the elementary word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can go on to perfection. Turn to Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. So to be made perfect, you have to submit to the lordship of Jesus by obeying the Lord. Verse 10, call to God, high priest after order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Now, this tells you right here why you're dull of hearing. You haven't got the foundation taught in you yet. Until you get the foundation, you'll be dull of hearing. And when we get into the next chapter, you'll see after you get the foundation in you, you'll be illuminated. So the foundation will help open your ears and illuminate you. Okay, let's read verse 12, New International Version. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness for ease of aid. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, that in the last verse of the fifth chapter of Hebrews, it says this. Then it goes to the sixth chapter and it says, therefore, referring back to the fifth chapter. Let's go to there. Verse 1, New International Version. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, those are dead works, instruction about cleansing rites, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Okay, so repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. That is the foundation. That is the elementary teaching of the beginning words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's going on in the church are all these winds of doctrine, and, you know, some, there are some lies being spoken out there and some truths. But even where truth is spoken, people have trouble getting a hold of it because they're dull of hearing, they haven't been illuminated. And it's in going back to the natural. Even in our educational system, you don't teach a higher grade until you've been taught the elementary teachings first. Then you build, you know, learning is a building process. You teach, you go to elementary school, you go to middle school, then you go to high school, same way in the body of Christ. You've got to have the foundation, the elementary teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can build upon those teachings. See, so there's a lot of confusion. And then, of course, then with people teaching lies also, it's just a mess. And the apostles and prophets are going to have to step up and do what's written in Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's read that. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in the mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nation, that's over the people, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, I don't want to tear down anything, you Christians out there, that you've got to stab your heart that is right. And like I said, many have been writing the Word of God in their hearts for years, and they've seen miracles and healings and changes in their heart. But to go into perfection, there will have to be some correction in people's doctrine. And let me just say this. If you have the humility to receive correction and instruction right, then God can take you on to perfection. All right? Thank God for everything God's done in your life. Thank God for the faith you have established in your heart, the things that you've had changed in your heart, the things you've done in the kingdom of God. Thank God for that. Everything that's of God will not be burned up. All right? But you need to get the foundation. And I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. And I'm a teacher. And I have the revelation of the foundation. And I can write it in your heart. And then you can go into perfection. And I'm going to obey God. And he told me that I would fulfill my ministry. So if you'll receive my ministry, you can be raised up to walk like Jesus. I know this will be hard for some of you to receive that have been in the ministry a long time. Okay? And like I said, I'm not here to tear down anything you got working in you, but to lay a foundation so you can go into perfection. And, you know, I'm continuing to grow and overcome, and I can only take you as far as I've come. And, you know, some of you have done more miracles than I've done, okay? But I've got the foundation, and you need it. So anyway, I'm going forward, and if you want to go with me, come on. All right? Let me tell you something. One of the hardest things to get past is your own heart. And if your heart condemns you, you can read Jesus died for all your sins. You're forgiven. But because of the law of Moses written in your heart, and it's a ministry of condemnation, you will struggle to believe you're forgiven. But as the law of Moses is erased from your heart, and the ministration of justification is written in your heart, which is the gospel, then you'll be convinced you're forgiven. Oh, it's so wonderful. Turn to 1 John 3:18. I'm going to read the Revised Standard Version. Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. See, it's hard to get around your heart, but God's greater than your heart, and he knows everything. Many struggle believing all their sins are forgiven, and believing their heart is right before God, but God is greater than your heart. And you can read many scriptures that your sins are paid for, but you'll have a problem with guilt. You'll keep feeling guilty. And you know, I'm beginning to understand why, because people have had trouble believing they're forgiven because it's not written in their heart yet. All right. Now, if you had, as you get it written in your heart, you won't have the trouble believing you're forgiven. You know, and I've known for some time that once your heart is able to grab a hold of any truth of the Word of God, you'll be set free some more. And so it looks like to me, as the Word of God is written in your heart, that's when you're able to grab a hold of it. You know, God just keeps putting all this together. It all fits together. I remember when I first began to walk with the Lord and God began to reveal himself to me, and I saw how great God was, but I also saw how wicked my heart was. And I thought, if only I had a right heart towards God, how happy I would be. And slowly God got through to my heart and convinced me, Scott, I'm giving you a right heart. It's a gift. I'm not just bringing you in right standing with you, but give you my nature give your righteous nature. You know, and as the days went by, God's been doing that very thing. I've had times I would just weep as my heart was being broken, and I saw the old me was being crucified on the cross, and he was passing away, and God was imparting his nature to me and making me his friend. He even told me one time, I remember the Lord came down one day and he said, "My friend." And I thought, "My friend." That was back when I saw a lot of wickedness in my heart. But you know what? God called those things that be not as though they were. And God knew what he could do with me. Just like he called Abraham when he had no children, he called him the father of many nations. God did and is continuing to make me his friend. And my love for God continues to grow. And, you know, it's all the grace of God in my life. I'm telling you, if you feel condemned, man, God will bring you out of this. So wonderful. There are people out there, they think they're doomed to hell. Oh, no, you have a choice. Make Jesus Christ Lord, and he will deliver you out of that fallen state. I used to think I was a tear. And, you know, when it's written in the Word of God about the tares being taken and burned in the end, and I didn't know if I had a choice. I thought, well, you're either a tear or you aren't. And that fear and guilt would hit me at times about being a tear, and I was just paralyzed with fear, and I couldn't do anything about it. And it was just the most horrible thing. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to hell. That's what I thought. That's what I believed in my heart. And it was just like, I was just paralyzed, and I couldn't do anything about it. But I just kept putting the Word of God in my heart. And I kept feeding the Word, and I kept seeking God. And God proved to me out of his Word. Or actually what happened was I finally came to the place. I said, I kept getting the truth of stuff in my heart. And I said, God, how can I prove out of your Word that I'm not a tear? And immediately John 1:12 came to me. Let's read that New Living Translation. But to all who believed in him and accept him, it's talking about Jesus, he gave the right to become a child of God. And my heart was able to grab a hold of that truth that day. And I've never been afraid of that again. I said, oh my God, I've been given the right to become a son of God. Why? Because I received the Lord Jesus Christ. It obviously had to be written in my heart that day as I read. So you hear, you know, some of you out there, you hear the promises, but you don't believe them yet. Well, as they're written in your heart, you'll be able to believe them. So don't get discouraged if some of the Word of God isn't working yet. You know, it will. Even if you don't go into perfection, you don't be made perfect. If you walk in this, go as far as you can, you'll go to heaven. Turn to John 16:8. And when he has come, he will reprove, that means convince, the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, he'll convince you of sin because you believe not on me. See, if you believe on Jesus, all your sins will be dealt with. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So the Lord will convince you of your sin, you're not believing on Jesus. He'll convince you that you've been made righteous. He'll convince you of that. Because Jesus was raised from the dead and you were justified. You keep getting it in your heart. It'll be written in your heart and you'll be convinced of it. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. As you keep having the Word of God written in your heart, you'll be convinced that when Jesus was raised from the dead, the devil, the ruler, the god of this world was judged and cast out. You can drive them away from you. You can drive those tormenting spirits away from you. You can drive those condemning spirits away from you. Okay, now look at the next verse. This really helped me. It's very important. Look what Jesus said to us. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus was saying you can't bear or receive the word yet. Or we could say some of the word yet. The Spirit of God is going to have to write them in your heart. Now go to verse 13. Well, let me read 12 again. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But you're going to. He could have said that, but he didn't say it. But he said, you cannot bear them now. But you're going to. I'm going to add that, but I know that's what he's saying. Howbeit when he, Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. Now he's showing you how you're going to hear it as he guides you and all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God will speak right out of ministers' mouth that have the faith to speak it and write it on your heart. So Jesus said to his disciples, you can't bear or receive the word of God now, but you will be able to. That's why he said, I have many things to say to you. So you have to let the Spirit of God guide you into all truth. And as he does, it will eventually get written in your heart. Your heart will get a hold of it. Your heart will be brought to the place where you can receive it, where it's written in your heart. And more of your heart will be changed, thank God. I mean, it's a wonderful truth. So, see, it's just like I kept having problems with guilt. It was horrible. It was so horrible. But God finally got it written in my heart, and the devil can't condemn me no more. And he can't make me guilty no more. So, and you won't be able to. It's been true all along, but it took time for my heart to be able to receive it. Amen. I believe that's all I've got to say about that. I encourage you, go back over this. There's some wonderful truth in this podcast. It'll change your life. Anyway, I went ahead and I put a donate button on my website for anybody who wants to give to this ministry. And I haven't had my 501c3 approved by the IRS yet. So, and I believe by law I have to say this, but so none of your financial gifts are tax exempt yet. But, you know, if you're using the standard deduction when you do your tax, it's not going to matter anyway, because the only reason you need a tax exemption is if you're itemizing when you do your taxes. So those of you that don't itemize, it won't matter. Or if you're rich and you don't care, then I encourage, you know, if you fit into those two categories, I encourage you to sow financially this ministry and be a part of it as we go into all the world to make Christians of all nations, because I'm going to fulfill my ministry. The Lord told me that, and it's coming to pass day by day. Before, I didn't even know if I could get out of bondage, but I'm coming out, and I'm going to bring others out with me. I am obeying the commission, and I'm going to make Christians of all nations. So, I thank God for every one of you out there. God bless every one of you. Pray you have a great day. That's all I've got for today. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.